Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Murky Behavioral Research Center here at Car Talk Plaza. This is a study of sorts, I guess, sent to us by someone named Peter Graham of the Department of Behavioral Sciences, Pensacola Junior College in Florida.
This is not a study of sorts. This is brilliant.
You think so, huh?
Oh, here's what Peter, what's his name, Peter?
Peter Graham.
Peter. I teach an experimental psychology class and ask our not brain dead students to design and run an experiment. One of them came up with the idea of looking at the effect of gender on car repairs. Now get this. Tammy disconnected the ground wire for the check engine light on her still-under-warranty Kia, so the light came on. Then she took the car to 10 different repair shops and asked them what to do about it.
Got it.
She also had her 6'4" macho boyfriend, Corey, take the car a week or two later to the same shops. Okay?
Got it.
Here's what we got here.
Let's find out the results.
We got 10 shops, and first, we have the diagnosis that Tammy got and the cost to fix it. And for the same shop, in many cases, the same mechanic.
Yeah.
The diagnosis that Corey got. Now, shop number one. They told her she needed a new alternator, $385. 2 weeks later, Corey goes in. The wire to your light is out. Cost zero. Shop number two, oxygen sensor and Cadillac converter. $320. There's a little asterisk. The mechanic offered to cut her a deal if she would go out with him. Corey got the same diagnosis, except in the case of Tammy, the price was $320.
Did he go out with the mechanic?
In the case of Corey, who didn't want to go out with him, $135. Shop number three. Tammy goes, fuel injector, $565. Corey, the wire is loose. $10. Shop number four. You need a transmission, Tammy. $2,400. Corey, same shop. The wire is loose. Price, zero. Shop number five. To Tammy, the wire is loose. For Corey, the wire is loose. That was the same. Shop number six.
Call that a push in Vegas.
Shop number six. You need a water pump, $765.
So wait a minute. The light's on and you need a water pump.
Get that.
Okay.
Shop number seven, oxygen sensor. Shop number eight. Told Tammy she needs a head gasket for $300. They told Corey the loose wire. Zero.
I see the trend here.
You get it. Shop number nine, you have a faulty exhaust system. $1,345 for Tammy. For Corey, a loose wire. Zero. I mean, this goes on and on.
Well, it's pretty obvious then that if you need your car fixed, you better be 6'4 and a guy. Right?
Man, this is serious business. And I think this is very widespread. Widespread.
I know it is. I mean, it's... Yeah. See it every day in our shop. Anyway, if you'd like some bogus information about repairs for your car, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yes, hello.
Hello. Yes. Hello, who's this?
My name is Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Ellen.
Yes, who's this?
Didn't you call us?
Yes,
no one ever asks us that question.
We're unprepared to answer that.
Okay. Are you the Car Talk guys?
That's us. Yeah.
We are. Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from Lynn, Massachusetts.
Okay.
At my place of employment. But I live in Peabody, Massachusetts.
We know them both.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's up?
I own a 1987 Mercury Sable.
Mm-hmm.
And a few months ago, about 5 months ago, I started noticing an intermittent bad odor, and several people suggested that it might be my heater core.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be unfortunate for this car.
Well, it was unfortunate. I did have it replaced.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And after I had the heater core replaced about 5 or 6 weeks ago, the smell was gone.
Good.
Well, over the past about 4 weeks, it seems that I'm getting a smell again, and it's not to the degree it was.
Mm.
It's like a rotten egg type smell.
Oh,
it's not like a mildewy odor. It's more like a...
Mm.
Well, I won't tell you what my 10-year-old daughter says, but she thinks the car is...
Yeah. A little flatulence.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
She thinks the car has flatulence. That's it. But that's the type of smell we're talking about.
Well, the heater core replacement was probably necessitated by something else. It must have been leaking coolant.
Uh-huh.
The smell that you'd get from a leaky heater core is not offensive at all. In fact, it's kind of nice.
Oh, antifreeze, it was very offensive.
Has a sweet smell to it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And so he must have noticed that the heater core was leaking.
Right.
Or he had a boat payment due.
Ah, there we go.
Or whatever.
Yes.
But obviously that's not the source of your smell. Yeah. Your smell is coming from the exhaust system and more likely the catalytic converter.
Right. The heater core had nothing to do with the smell.
And it's the catalytic converter not functioning correctly because, and it can be the result of using a gasoline that has too much sulfur in it.
Uh-huh.
And the converter cannot hold the sulfur compounds on itself. I think it uses a nickel compound to.
So hold on now. We got some more information here. Do you always buy gas in exactly the same place?
Yes. Always.
There goes that
there. Boy, would have sounded great,
wasn't
huh?
Wasn't that good?
That was good.
That was good.
Do you think that...
Can you say no for our editors?
I'm sorry.
If you had changed gas stations...
Yeah.
That would explain
it. That would explain
it. On the other
all.
Hand, sometimes the way you drive will have an effect on it. For example...
Go ahead, bail me out of this.
Okay.
If your car sits and idles for a long period of time, it's more likely to produce the smell. Because the oxygen sensor will cool off, and sometimes when it's not immersed in hot exhaust product, it will cool off enough to send a faulty or erroneous signal to the computer.
Okay. Yeah.
And the computer will alter the mixture and make the smell.
I like this.
Okay, it sounds good.
So if you, for example, I'm going to stick with it because it's, what,
the only thing we got.
No.
So yeah, it's possible that you're more likely to get it when you are stuck in traffic, for example, or when you've done short little distance driving, or sat with the engine running and waiting for your daughter to come out.
Did I say that again?
Dance,
that's true. She
dance
said.
Class.
That is true. Yeah. Okay, that is true. May I ask a question?
No, you're out of questions. You had seven. That's it.
Oh,
all right, go
more?
Ahead.
Okay.
As long as it doesn't embarrass us.
All right. I have a friend, a boyfriend, who suggests that what I'm smelling is strictly road smell. That's what he calls it. He thinks that smells that may have been sort of blowing by are now coming in the car.
Oh, wafting in. No, it's no.
What do you think about that?
No. Are you serious
I'd
with this
get
guy?
Rid of him.
Okay, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Ding dong, he's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I would suggest that you watch how you drive. For example, if you are sitting idling for a long period of time, and that's when you get the smell, just avoid those situations.
Avoid those.
Yeah, and try switching brands of gasoline. Sometimes one brand of gas will make more smell than another.
And have your boyfriend switch brands of deodorant. That might help
And don't pick them up at the gym anymore.
No, I won't, but I never do.
Oh, good.
So really, try a different brand of gas.
Try a different brand of gas and try driving the car as opposed to parking with it, with the engine running.
Okay, I will do that. I'll take your advice.
Ellen, it's been a pleasure talking to somebody from Peabody.
Oh, I'm sure it has, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
See you later.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Mike Gildon from Aiken, South Carolina.
Hi, Mike.
Aiken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hurts there.
There must be a lot of jokes about Aiken, South Carolina. But I won't make any of them, Mike.
Not on the air, anyway. What can we do for you, Mike?
Well, I have a problem that's sort of generic. It's about cars, but has nothing to do with my specific problem.
Must have to do with your wife, then.
Yeah, that's true, too. For years, it's been bothering me about fuzzy dice. Why fuzzy dice? Why not shiny elephants? Why not fuzzy ratchet wrenches?
God almighty, what a question.
It hasn't occurred to you yet, but I'm sure that the reason that you hang fuzzy things and soft things from your...
To protect you in case... This was the predecessor to the airbag? Is that what you're going to try to tell us?
You wouldn't want to hang your bowling... First of all, you wouldn't want to hang your bowling ball from the rearview mirror.
No.
Right? Because
it would break the mirror.
It would break the mirror off, number one. Number two, it's too hard. So if the thing is swinging around and you happen to bang into it with your head during an accident, you'd hurt yourself.
Right.
So that eliminates the bronzed baby shoes. You don't see those anymore.
Used to.
Yeah. Now there's... Well,
what about the smelly pine trees?
I like the smelly pine trees.
God, if anything could make you sick, it's that stuff.
Not as sick as what they're covering up. Right?
But, Mike, this is one of the questions of the ages. I mean, I don't know the answer.
And you can't hang shiny things.
No, you
because
shouldn't.
Because the reflections will blind
Except,
you.
Except, I mean, what's coming into vogue now is hanging prisms, which are exactly not just shiny things, but reflecting shining things so that all kinds of colors are flashing around the inside of the car. But it is a good question. I have no idea. How did fuzzy dice get to be the hanging thing? How did that happen?
Well, why the pom-poms in the rear on the rear window? Think about that. Or the dog with the head that goes... You know.
It is interesting that certain things just happen.
Right.
And they capture the imagination at some point. But don't forget, someone had to actually make the first pair of fuzzy dice.
Yes, exactly.
Was it Tom Edison?
I think so. I think it was Marconi. But don't forget, dice signify good luck.
Okay.
Right. Uh-huh. So when you buy a new car, you want something to instill good luck into that whole experience.
I will talk to Paul Merkey about this immediately after the show, because Paul Merkey has, as I've mentioned on the air earlier, is designing an experiment in which he is testing the efficacy of airbags against St. Christopher medals. Now, we know that St. Christopher is defrocked. And therefore, maybe fuzzy dice ought to be included in that experiment.
Yeah, well, if you're talking about that, why don't you talk about a horseshoe instead?
And a horse, but the horseshoe, that's a good question. I mean, if it's luck you're after.
That's right.
Well, it should be a fuzzy horseshoe. Hey, Mike, we may be on to something here.
I'm going to talk to Paul about this. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
People... Not everyone in the world is thinking about stuff like this.
No. This is what separates us from the baboons, right? And not that big a separation.
It certainly is not.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jennifer calling from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Now, Jennifer, you sound like an up person.
I am.
You are. Yeah, you do. I mean, you have that quick step in your voice. It's the caffeine, right?
I think so at this point in time.
Is it Portland, Oregon that makes you happy?
Yeah, Portland's a nice place.
Good, okay.
Although that's not where I'm from.
Oh, no?
No. I'm from the East Coast originally.
How east? Like Maine?
No.
New York
but
City.
Part of my story comes from Maine.
Okay, we'll let you tell your
All
story.
Right, go for it.
Yes. Yeah. My boyfriend has a 1987 Toyota 4Runner, and I'm having the dilemma of trying to find out a way to get rid of it. Or do something with it, because it has a few problems that he's trying to deny.
Oh, he's in denial.
He's big denial.
Go ahead.
What kind of problems does it have?
Well, it's lost fifth gear. The windows are stuck in the up position. It has main rust on it. The climate controls no longer work. And the brake light is always on.
Is there anything really wrong with it, though?
No, I mean, seriously, none of these things that you mentioned so far are disasters.
I mean, fifth gear, unimportant.
Fifth gear, who needs it?
Let's not get carried away.
I mean, and rust, of course it's got rust. No climate control, well, so what? I mean, how bad is it? Brake light constantly on. If it's been on for a real long time, then there can't be anything wrong with the brakes, otherwise you'd have been dead by now.
Right, and pretty soon the bulb will burn out and you'll forget about that one.
Right. The only thing that troubles me is the windows that won't go down.
Yeah, they won't go down.
None of them?
The back window will go down.
Oh, that's good. In case you have to crawl out of the vehicle, you've got one method of escape.
Is it on the driver's side?
No, it's actually the rear window in the back of the truck.
Oh, the rear window.
Rear, yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay. You can both get out that one.
Oh, yeah, holding hands.
True.
Yeah. So what's your problem, Jennifer?
Well, I'm trying to convince him it's time to either sell it or fix it and then sell it. And he just doesn't want to do it. He just sort of wants it to die with him.
Well, is this a guy thing?
I think it is.
I hate to keep relating these things to my marital life. But, I mean, it all seems to be related. My wife's theory is something in the house breaks, fix it. My theory is... Did it fall down and hurt you? You know, like, is it a piece of the roof? We have a front little porch. She went bonkies because somebody told her that the base was rotted away and it was going to fall down. And I said, well, of course it's going to fall down. And when it does, we will either stop using the front door or we'll fix it. But every little thing that goes wrong, she's got to fix it. What's with you women anyway? Lighten up, will you? Come on, so it doesn't... We don't have to have perfection.
I don't think it's a woman.
I think, you know what the trouble is? She has me for a husband, and she's used to perfection.
She just wants every other aspect of her life to be as perfect.
She figures she deserves perfection.
If she's got you, she might as well have a front porch that isn't falling through.
No, but women do get nervous about stuff that's not perfect.
See, I don't think it's a woman-guy thing at all.
You don't?
No, I fix everything around my house that's broken. In fact, I go and break stuff so I can fix it because I happen to enjoy that.
You do?
I do, yeah.
So it's not a woman-guy thing. How serious are you with this guy?
Well, we've been together for 3 years, living together.
So you could dump him anytime. I mean,
there's no commitment here.
Yeah,
no.
There's no commitment here, right?
No. I'm thinking if he gets rid of the truck, there might be a commitment.
Yeah. Well, I would put it to him just like that.
Really? An ultimatum?
You may be in a position.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know, huh?
Don't mess with it, Jennifer.
I think he might pick the truck in that case.
He might. Don't mess with it,
well,
Jennifer.
Wouldn't you want to know right now?
Yeah, maybe
and
I don't
don't forget, if
true.
You win, you'll uh-huh. control him forever. So, think about that, Jennifer.
Okay. Yeah.
It's an awesome responsibility, I'll tell you.
I'll take it on, I guess.
I know you will.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling, Jennifer.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Now, before we give the answer to last week's puzzle, we have to take a short break. Do you know why?
Yeah, so you can figure out the answer.
That's right. We'll be back in a minute. Sometimes I think a single sneeze could be the end of us. My hay fever is turning up, just swerved into a passing truck. Big business overtaking without indicating. He passes on the right, been driving through the night to bring us the best price. If you can't see me, I can't see you. If you can't see me, I can't see you. And even though all the armies in Game of Thrones unite to storm NPR headquarters whenever we say it, this is NPR. We'd like to thank NatureBox, one of the sponsors of this podcast, both for supporting Car Talk and for reigning in the burgeoning midriff of mechanics everywhere. They want you to know that NatureBox ships tasty and guilt-free snacks right to your door with over 100 flavors to choose from, like Asiago and cheddar cheese crisps, pistachio power clusters, and Big Island pineapple. What, no transmission fluid flavor snacks yet, guys? They're all made with zero artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners, 0 grams trans fats, and no high fructose corn syrup. Try NatureBox for free by going to naturebox.com/cartalk. That's naturebox.com/cartalk. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
I happen to remember the puzzler.
Good.
About the big truck.
Who cares?
The one with the high pressure turbo. Oh.
Sorry. Anyway, this puzzle was inspired by a photograph that I saw in the paper recently. Picture this. I'm driving. This is all contrived, obviously, but for the purposes of obfuscation.
No!
And
you mean that these puzzlers that you give us week after week are not absolutely
most of this particular one happens to be a contrivance. Anyway, I'm driving down the highway, and I see way up ahead one of those big diesel tractor trailer trucks. And it's spewing from its smokestacks the vilest, blackest, thickest, nastiest smoke imaginable.
We don't want to talk about
As I'm closing in the guy, I see him pull over to the side of the road. The thing is still running, and the smoke is just pouring out. It's brutal. So being a nice guy, I pull up next to him and roll down my passenger window and say, "Hey, you knucklehead, you're killing everyone behind you. Why don't you shut that thing off?" He says, "I did. I turned it off, but it won't stop running." So I say, well, obviously something's wrong. Why don't you stall it out? He says, "I can't. It's got an automatic transmission." "But don't worry," he adds. "In a couple of minutes, the engine will be seized, and it'll stop."
And he's happy about this.
He isn't.
Don't worry.
And so are the 90,000 motorists behind him. Anyway, I look at an emblem on the side of his truck, and in an instant, I know why. Why the engine's going to stop running and seize up.
I got it.
What did that emblem say?
Fiat. No? No.
No. He was, as we know from the earlier description, he's driving a diesel truck. But the emblem I see says turbocharged.
Yes, indeed.
And the reason he can't shut the thing off is that the turbocharger has failed, and it is sucking the crankcase oil out of the engine.
Yeah, we should mention that the way you shut off a regular car is when you turn the key to the off position, you're stopping the spark from occurring.
Right, and the way you turn off a diesel is
which
you
ain't
shut
got
off,
no stinking spark.
No, you shut off the fuel.
Yeah.
So you close a valve, which prevents fuel from getting from the tank to the injectors, and the engine obviously shuts down. But now, with the turbo failed, it doesn't need the fuel in the tank anymore. It's using the motor oil as a fuel.
Mm.
And that's why the smoke is thick and black and ugly and vile and nasty.
And what's going to happen is it's going to suck all 38 quarts of oil out of that giant...
In about 5 minutes.
And out of that giant diesel engine. And when the oil is gone, then it's going to stop.
Pretty good, huh?
I like it.
Yeah. Anyway, who's our winner this week?
Ah, we have a winner. Here it is. Ooh. The winner is Melissa Armstrong from Fleetwood, Pennsylvania. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Melissa is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can pick up a CarTalk baseball jersey, which has 3/4-length sleeves, perfect for keeping those arms warm while you're wasting away on the bench.
Anyway,
yeah,
we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. So don't touch that dial. In the
we're
meantime,
still in the first half, aren't we?
We're in the second half. We just entered the second half of the first quarter.
Cool.
We'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Helen from Manassas, Virginia.
Hi, Helen.
Manassas.
Yeah, famous for many things.
Oh, yeah. Of course. We know.
Virginia, that's
yes.
V-A.
Manassas, isn't that what you put in, like, pumpkin pie and all that
yeah.
stuff? Yeah, we thought so.
Right.
Right. What's up, Helen?
I have a 1989 full-size Bronco.
Full-size Bronco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are
eight
big,
cylinders,
aren't they?
And I use them all.
Good.
And it's an automatic. And about every 20 to 30 starts or so on the first... turn of the key.
Nothing.
It goes vroom.
Excuse me?
It goes vroom. And then on the second start, it starts. And my fear is that one of these times it's just never going to do it and I'm going to be stranded somewhere.
How loud is the... Make the noise again.
I knew you'd say that.
Yeah.
Vroom.
Vroom.
And I asked someone...
You mean instead of...
Right. And not click, click, click. And it's not, so it's not the starter, because that's what the starter's noise is.
So it doesn't sound like a grinding noise.
No, not really.
You know the noise
grind.
You get when you try to start it when it's already running?
No, not at all
it
like
it isn't that.
No.
It's a very deep sound, just like you made it?
Yes.
And does it have that little resonance to it like you put in? Vroom.
Yeah, pretty.
Is it like
yeah.
a hum almost?
Yes, almost like a hum. Mm. And it's not the battery connections, because I've tried those. And that's the extent of my information on cars.
Ooh, hello.
Oh, so you haven't had anyone look at this?
No.
Have you had anyone else guess or theorize about it?
Help us, in other words. We're
no.
completely baffled.
So we're on our own, in other words.
Yes.
And you don't know much about cars?
I change my own oil.
Anything, so then. We could tell you just about anything, it would fly?
Yes.
All right, well, if that's the case, I know what it is.
Oh, good. So I'm not stranded somewhere.
I have to think it's the starter motor not engaging.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It has to be. I think the starter motor is binding up somehow.
No, I don't think it's binding up. I think what's happening is the starter drive is not kicking out the gear, and what you're getting is, you're getting the starter turning, but not engaging the flywheel.
Okay. Do I need a new starter motor?
It's got to be the starter.
I think so. I mean, it'd be nice to have someone that knows what he's doing listening to it.
The trouble is that it only happens once every...
20 or 30 starts.
Well, that's all. If you can really count on that, that's okay.
Okay.
Because you can take it to the garage and they can start it 20 or 30 times until it happens.
Oh.
Is it more likely to do it first thing in the morning?
No.
Is it more likely to do it when the engine's hot?
No. It's totally
How about Wednesdays? Is it more likely to do it on Wednesdays? So it's totally random.
Totally random.
So you could conceivably go to the repair shop and sit there and try it 100 times.
And you'd do it 3 times.
And, yeah. No, it might not do it any. On average, it's 1 out of 30 starts, but it could go 500 starts without doing it and then do it 5 times in a row?
No, it's never done it in a row. But it could maybe go 100 times and not do it.
I have to say, I have never heard a starter fail this way.
Oh, I have all the time. Yeah, in fact, this is the only way they fail. No, you take it to your repair shop and have them sit in the car with you while you try to do this thing. Better still, have them sticking their heads under the hood while you start it repeatedly.
Okay.
And when you get it to do it, you'll say, "That's the noise." And the guy will say, "Yeah, you need a new starter."
Okay. Yeah. I have a confession. I've never changed the fuel filter.
All right. Well, 10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys and do the Stations of the Cross next week.
But I'm a Unitarian.
That's all right.
Okay.
You go there. They'll show you how to do them.
Okay.
Good luck, Helen.
Thank you.
Thanks
change,
for calling.
Change the filter.
Nice talking to you.
Same here. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
How you doing?
Good. Who's this?
This is Warren Lakin in Baltimore.
Warren?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
First, I have a 1988 Oldsmobile Calais with 125,000 miles on it.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I just replaced the blower and the brakes, and everything's fine there. But here's where the problem comes in. I made the mistake of hand washing and waxing the car. And upon doing this, I noticed a few small rust spots and dings in the paint.
That's why you should always use the drive-thru.
Well, that's true. That's true.
You don't want to get too intimate with the
exactly.
the surface of the vehicle.
I mean, after all, it is only a car.
That's right.
But go ahead.
But now my wife says that if I have the car painted, it's going to die within 2 months.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's right.
Is she right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you agree with the Joe at the gas station. He says all that paint will
the extra weight.
The car too heavy.
Well, it's probably lead poisoning that does it.
Lead poisoning.
No,
well,
I mean,
it depends on how much you spend for the paint job.
I see.
If you, it's the length of time it will last is inversely proportional to the amount of money you spend on the
yeah, okay, so I shouldn't go for the cheap job.
No, you should
yeah,
go for the
you
cheap
should
job.
Go for the cheap
I should go for the cheap
yeah.
job.
I'd go to, is there an Earl Scheib or a Mako around?
Yes, there are.
Go to both of them.
Go to one after the other?
Get them into a bidding war.
Okay.
You could probably get it done for $75-$80. No, but if you spent $1,000 on this, I can guarantee you that a week later, the transmission's going to give.
I bet you're right.
Guarantee it.
I bet you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, you love this car?
Oh, well, I've been sort of married to it for a long while. It's in good condition.
Yeah.
I change the oil, you know, fairly regularly.
And these are not big. These are small dings. Are they starting to rust?
Yeah, yes, they are a little bit.
This is the time to do it. I mean, if you like the car and it's starting to do that, I mean, I think you can, a lot of times, Mako, I happen to know, runs these special deals. And for $300, they'll give you 4 free hours of body work, which means they can sand down all those rough spots.
Right.
And paint the car any color of your choice as long as it's gray.
Oh, the car's black.
All black. They put on 2 coats of the gray and it turns black.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
So it's for $300. Could you go wrong?
Not really.
Don't let them talk you into that $1,500 deal.
No.
Just
no.
tell them it's only an Oldsmobile.
It's only an Oldsmobile.
Right.
Okay.
And they say, okay, $300.
$300 is my top.
I would do it.
And you'll have a new lease on life. You'll buy some new hubcaps and a new fuzzy dice pair.
Oh.
No, I like the dog in the back window better.
The
dog in the back window will do it.
Yeah, going up and down as you ride.
Boy, this is living, isn't it, Warren?
And if you want to give to it that little extra touch. See, I had my car painted recently.
Yes.
If you want that little extra touch.
Have them roll up the windows.
You might, No. You might want to invest a mere $29.95 and get yourself a nice neon license plate holder.
Oh, that's great. That's good down here in Baltimore.
This is, I mean, nothing. It doesn't get any better than this.
Doesn't get
That's
better.
The scary part. See you later, Warren.
Thanks
Good
a
luck.
Lot.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Jessen calling from Berkeley, California.
Jessa?
Jessen.
Spell it.
J-E-S-S-E-N.
Oh, Jessen.
Yes.
Jessen, that's an interesting name. Where does that come from?
It's a family name. It's my grandmother's maiden name.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
I love it, actually.
It's interesting.
Boy, I'm glad they didn't do that with me. I would have been Bajigaloop Mariotti.
Or Dodo. What's up?
Well, I have a 1989 Toyota Celica, which I am terribly fond of, and it served me very well. But I'm worried about it because over the past maybe 2 months or so, it's developed a proclivity towards shaking when I'm stopped at an intersection in particular. I mean, it's kind of akin to sitting in a giant electric toothbrush or like one of those foot massagers from a fancy catalog place or
that
something
bad.
Like that.
I mean, that good.
And I found that I can feel the shaking when I'm moving and my foot isn't on the gas. Mm-hmm. And it was diagnosed a few months ago with a low idle. And being a student of limited financial means, I understood that this wasn't a critical matter, and I decided to ignore it. And I'm wondering if that was a bad decision or if this is another problem entirely.
Well, when you say it was diagnosed with a low idle, by whom and why?
Well, I actually took it in for a general checkup because I was moving from Chicago to California, and I wanted to make sure it was okay for the 2,200-mile trip.
Oh, and someone said, everything's okay, but it does have a low idle.
Yeah.
And since that time, since you got to California, it's been doing this funny thing.
Yeah, it was okay for a little bit, but then it kicked in a few months ago. And, you know, I'd say I'd probably have maybe 5,000 miles put on it since I've gotten here.
All right, one other thing. What was your degree in at the University of Chicago, and what's your master's degree going to be in at Berkeley?
Well, I'm still at the University of Chicago. I'm getting a degree in art history.
How can you just smell them, you know? I love it.
Well, you can see why I need to hang on to this car as long as possible. I don't have a new car in my future for a bit.
You know, someone ought to market cars just for art history majors. You know? Right. The Hyundai. The car for art history majors.
Yeah. I can a 96 see Hyundai, as a matter of fact.
Maybe an 86.
Or an 89 Celica could be the car of choice.
So you're moving from art history to what?
Oh, I'm still doing art history, but I'm an advanced student now, so I don't need to be in Chicago anymore.
Ah, okay. But are you going to University of California? Or are you just there for the sun?
I'm just here for the sun.
Oh, God, I remember those days.
Remember those days.
I remember those days.
And we're worried about her and her a degree in art history?
Yeah.
She's in the sun.
Yeah, we're not
we're
in the
freezing
sun.
Our sorry butts off.
Yeah, we're in Bronco Nagurski long underwear, and you're living it up like Wayne Newton out there. Jeez, all right. Well, you know what I think?
I think you have a low idle.
You must have like 160,000 miles in this thing.
Actually, I don't. It really doesn't have that much. It has maybe almost 90,000 miles.
Oh, well, it's practically brand new.
That's good then. It's too early for the thing to need a valve job, although it's a possibility. And
One,
what you have is you have a cylinder that's not kicking.
A cylinder that's not kicking.
Yeah, and I'm going to guess that you have bad spark plug wires because these are famous for that.
Oh, actually, that's what my dad thought, and he hadn't looked at it.
Ah, what a guy.
I have him confirmed by you guys.
We love him.
Always listen to your father.
No, this engine has long spark plug tubes.
Uh-huh.
And the spark plug wire has a big, long plastic insulator that goes into these tubes to connect to the spark plug. And one of the things that happens is little cracks in these insulators cause the spark never to reach the plug but to short out against the wall of this long tube where the where the plug sits. If, in fact, that's happening, it'll make the thing run on three cylinders.
Uh-huh.
So you can go to the local Toyota dealer,
uh-huh,
which is the best place to go for these things, and buy yourself a new set of spark plug wires.
Oh, excellent.
And I think that's going to fix it, but you may want to take it someplace just to verify, because if you buy the wires and it turns out to be the distributor cap, you might hate us more than you already do. So I would try. I'm pretty sure it's the wires, but if you take it someplace, they can verify it in less than 5 minutes.
Okay.
Good luck, Jessen.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Good luck in your career.
Thank you.
Don't get too much sun.
Okay.
All right. See you later.
All right. Thanks.
Take care. Bye. Hey, it's time for us to take a short break because I need a minute to fact check the new puzzler.
Fact check? Since when are there any facts in your puzzlers to check anyway?
All right. Fabrication check.
Good.
We'll be back in a minute.
Last month I was driving down I-94. I saw something I never saw before. The guy in front of me, he was all over the road. When I tried to pass him, he almost lost his load. He swerved to the left, then back to the right. I tell you, it was a scary sight. Why don't you hang up and drive? Hang up and drive. put that phone back in the cradle if you want to survive. If you want to kill yourself, well, hey, buddy, that is fine. But killing me too, that is where I draw the line. You know I'd like to see us both get home alive. Why don't you hang up and drive?
And even though NHTSA officials send us another crash test dummy application form whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
We'd like to take a moment to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. Now, I'm going to make a bold prediction and guess that at some point, you're going to need tires. That's why they call me Kreskin Malyotzi. Now, at TireRack.com, they want you to know that the right tires for you, based on your car and how you drive, can be delivered in as little as one business day to a local recommended installer. Which leads me to my second bold prediction, that you've learned more from this message than from the rest of our show. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install.
Ha! Don't scare me like that. I'm trying to get a little nap in here.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
And a one and a two.
Well, I have to tell a little joke first.
Yeah, go ahead.
This past summer, our producer, Dougie Berman, was on vacation down in the island someplace. And he's walking down a street, and leaning up against a tree is a guy that's dressed up like a pirate. You know, he's got the three-quarter length pants, yeah, the puffy shirt.
Peg leg.
The
patch
the,
over one
the,
eye.
The bandana on his head.
Yeah.
The toucan on his shoulder. Reeboks. And he's got, and so Dougie looks at him and he says, Jesus, he looks at him. The guy's got a peg leg, he does. He's got a hook for a hand.
Wow.
And he's got a patch over his eye, like all pirates do.
Yeah.
And he asks the guy if he's a real pirate. And the pirate says, I am, matey, I'm a real pirate. And Doug asks, he says, geez, you know, he says, you're in pretty bad shape. Do you mind telling me how you lost your leg?
Mm.
He says, it was a mutiny. He said, they threw me overboard and a shark bit me leg off. Dougie says, jeez, pretty bad. He says, how about your hand? How did you lose your hand? He says, we were boarded by another bunch of pirates from another ship. He said, they wanted to steal our booty. He said, we came to fight it with swords. And before I could run the last one through, he cut me hand off. And that's how I wound up with me hook.
Wow.
He says, jeez, you got a peg leg. If sharks ate your leg off, you got a hook. He says, how about your eye? Bird poop. Dougie says, excuse me? Bird poop? You mean a bird pooped in your eye and you lost your eye? That's what I said, bird poop. Well, how did that happen? It was the first day with me hook. Well, which leads me up to today's Puzzler.
That's a lead into a Puzzler.
Now, we all know that pirates, in fact, many sailors of old, have patches over one of their eyes.
They do.
And we know that it ain't bird poop.
We do?
Well, we...
It seems unlikely, at least. It
seems unlikely that it's bird poop.
Yeah.
I mean, how stupid could... Never mind. The question is, why is it that old-time sailors had...
Frequently had a patch over their eye?
Had no eyesight in one eye, that they wore a patch over their eye. Now, if you think you know the answer, or you just have nothing to do at work and feel like taking a stab at it, mail your answer to Puzzler Tower,
yeah,
Car Talk Plaza, mm-hmm, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
MA02238. Or, of course, you can email us your answer from our website, cartalk.com.
Wow.
If you'd like to converse with us at this very moment, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Doug from San Francisco.
Doug, what's happening, man?
I have a 93 Ford Probe.
Yeah.
I recently had a major brake job done to it on the front and rear brakes, and ever since, I've been getting this strange clunking sound that comes from the right front of the car. And it happens as I'm applying the brakes, sometimes, actually after I take my foot off the brakes, it only happens once each time, and it doesn't happen every time.
Really?
I took it back, and they scratched their heads and said, oh, we hear it. We don't know what it is.
Oh, they did hear it.
Oh, they heard it, yeah.
Excellent.
And what's the noise again?
It's a clunk. You know, it sounds a lot like the sound like a pebble hitting the inside of the fender, like when you kick up something.
Oh, it's a little tink.
Oh, it's a very light clunk.
Tink.
And sometimes it happens as you're applying the brake, and I heard you say sometimes it happens when you're releasing the brake?
Yeah, once in a while it'll happen as I take my foot off the brake.
Well, I've got to think that the problem is somewhere in the caliper. It's probably a one-piston caliper that has a slide mechanism. Mm-hmm. And it's possible that the slide is worn out. Maybe everything was okay until they went ahead and put the new pads in. But if the slide is worn out, the caliper can actually move when you step. It will move when you step in the brake, and it could make a noise just like the one you described, a little chunk. Hmm. And then when you release the brake, it could go back.
It could happen when you release it.
Yeah.
Exactly,
so
right.
It could be a worn caliper slide.
But they didn't do anything to the calipers.
They didn't. No, they didn't. I mean, they're very nice there, but I'm not sure they're very competent.
Yeah.
Yeah, people say that. Never mind. Well, would you rather be known as nice or competent? I mean, if you had to choose between one and the other.
Oh, nice.
Nice is better, isn't
it? Yeah, that's absolutely.
I knew we made the right choice.
It wasn't a choice.
It just
happened that way.
So what should I tell them? That they should disassemble the caliper?
Well, I would ask them to try a new caliper on that side.
Uh-huh.
Tell them to put it on there with the understanding, mind you, that if it doesn't fix it, they'll take it off and send it back.
They might balk at that a little bit, but you have to sweet talk them.
Another thing that comes to mind is perhaps when they did it, they didn't tighten the axle retaining nut completely. Ask them to check that. There's a big fat nut that plants the axle to the bearing.
Mm-hmm.
And if that isn't tight, you can get a noise from that too.
Okay.
Good luck, Doug.
Thanks a lot.
It'll cost them $800 no matter what. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tom.
Hey.
Tom.
How you doing?
Great name. Where are you from, Thomas?
White Plains, Maryland.
Tom, what's on your mind?
All right. I've got a daughter. That's a big problem right there.
Yeah.
She's finishing her third year in college in about 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And she's not going to go back for her fourth year. She
Good.
Wants to go to Fiddletown, California, to work on an organic farm as a laborer. Okay?
Fiddletown.
Yeah, well, that's up in the Gold Rush country somewhere, uh-huh. Not too far from Sacramento.
There is nothing to make one embrace education more than physical labor.
I'm hoping that's the case.
Yes.
I'm hoping you're right. Well, here's my dilemma.
Yeah.
She has a 1987 Toyota pickup. It's got 130,000 miles on it. Runs pretty good right now. But it has the original clutch.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my question. Do I take a proactive approach on this and fix what's not broke?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I take a chance of her breaking down in someplace like Iowa or someplace? You got to bear in mind, if that happens, my daughter's a little bizarre. She's clothing impaired, for example, and she's a vegan.
After she does this physical labor, she'll be eating raw cows.
No.
She'll be so hungry.
She did it last summer, you know, locally here, and loved it.
She did, huh?
And she wants to be an organic farmer.
A vegan, huh?
A vegan, yeah.
I love the name.
I call her the food Nazi.
So how did you raise such a strange daughter?
I don't know.
No, it's obvious she takes after your wife, right?
Well,
That's it.
Certainly an interesting person.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah, she is interesting.
Sure she is.
But she doesn't walk too close to the ground. She just kind of, you know, about 2 inches above.
Yeah, well, there are some people
like that.
Well,
I mean, this all will be part of the experience.
Yes.
I mean, she's not the least bit afraid to drive this thing out there.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it adds to the adventure.
Absolutely.
Something to tell your grandchildren about.
But you realize I'm going to be the one who gets the call from, you know, someplace in Nevada when she's busted down. What do I do now?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I can't eat because there's nothing here but hamburger and all these things.
Right.
Yeah. So what do I do?
Yeah. I mean, you're probably right that the clutch is unlikely to last much longer, even if she makes it across. I mean, a clutch with 130,000 miles on it is a clutch that's really had it.
But your mechanic can easily test it, and by the engagement point can tell you whether it'll make it, you know, another 6 months or another 6 years.
Okay.
So that's easy.
All right.
You should have tested, obviously, are the brakes completely. You want to check all the hydraulic lines. You want to check, of course, the ball joints.
Check the whole front end, the suspension system. Make sure wheels are not going to fall off.
Make sure the wheel bearings are repacked and are adjusted correctly. And you want to make sure that the vehicle has the best chance of making it without going nuts and replacing things that...
Yeah, I figured maybe if I put like $1,000 in it, not counting the clutch.
Yeah.
That would be about right.
Yeah, and then Vegan should have a nice trip. What is Vegan's name?
Her name's Joanna. And she's going out there with her boyfriend, who's an archaeologist.
Oh.
So, I mean, like, what's his chance to get the job?
So she's not traveling alone.
No, he's going to, like, here was her plan, you know, go in his truck, and he'll get an archaeologist job, and I'll go work on this farm. And I said, you're going to be stuck up on this farm. You got to have your own vehicle. So I want her to follow him out. I figured that would be safe.
Oh, that's great. That's terrific.
Yeah.
They're all set. I wouldn't worry about a thing.
All right.
And as soon as she leaves, you can stock the freezer with hamburger. Live it up, man.
Okay.
She'll be back before you know it.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there.
Hi there.
From Fiddletown to New York City.
New York City.
The big city, huh? Who's this?
This is Kimberly.
What's your name?
Kimberly.
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 Those memory pills are really working, I see.
And where are you from, Kimberly?
I'm
Fiddletown, California.
I'm from Norfolk, Virginia, and I've been living in New York City for the past 5 weeks.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yes, which is part of the problem.
You mean like Manhattan, New York City?
I'm in Greenwich Village, in fact.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Yes, it is. But it is a problem, involving three things: my car, my relationship, and New York City.
Yeah.
I knew you guys were the ones to call.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to live in New York City, you have to give up all hope of personal dignity of any kind.
I'm slowly learning that, but I am having a hard time getting rid of my car. I brought it up here because I wasn't ready to let go of the freedom. I've been a car owner since I was 16, and, of course, now I pay more for parking than I paid for rent back home.
Yeah. Right.
And naturally, I haven't used it since I've been here.
Of course not.
Or I should say, I haven't driven it. I have used it. I occasionally go and just sit in it for some quiet. It's parked in a beautiful structure over on the Hudson River, so my car has a better view than my apartment does.
Uh-huh.
But on the way up here, driving it up, the closer I got to New York City, the more it started acting up, or maybe acting out in protest.
Yeah.
I believe it's possibly the fuel filter. When I'm traveling at high speeds, it will occasionally sputter and hesitate, mm-hmm. mostly while accelerating.
That sounds like a clogged fuel filter or a weak pump.
Bad pump, yeah.
Okay, I had a mechanic back home that was wonderful. I trusted him, and even when I would walk in and say dangerously stupid things, like, mm-hmm. I think it's something major, he'd find a $15 problem and charge me $15 to fix it.
Well, you don't have to worry about that in New York City. You can go to any repair shop, and you will find people that you can trust with your life, practically. Just go in anywhere, and they'll say, oh, it's just a fuel filter, $20. That's it.
And they're especially kind to out-of-towners.
They especially like out-of-towners.
They're going to see this bumpkin coming up 6th Avenue. I know it.
Oh, but don't worry. I mean, they're just, you'll find New Yorkers to be the wonderful people that we know they are.
Five weeks you've lived there.
So. Yes. Yeah. And I do love it, but there are, of course, you know, all the problems that I guess most big cities have. There's public urination, which baffles me because people are allowed to go to the bathroom on the sidewalk, but dogs
not
can't.
Dogs,
yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a confused one.
People touch you in weird ways on the bus.
Let's jump ahead to your relationship, because if the relationship isn't very, very strong, I can see very little reason for you to be stuck in this place.
He's wonderful. He's the reason that I moved up here.
Yeah, I understand that.
But that doesn't mean that he's not just absolutely driving me buggy. We're living together in a tiny apartment, which is palatial by New York City standards.
Yeah.
When I moved from Virginia, I put most of my stuff in storage or sold it, but I did ship 28 boxes up here.
Forget it.
He thought that was outrageous. He doesn't understand why I need so many clothes. I don't understand why he still owns everything he's ever owned in this little apartment. We're tripping over boxes. We're tripping over each other, and that's why I have to go sit in my car so often.
Yeah, no, I give you 4 more weeks.
Yeah.
At best.
Wow.
Well, I mean, while you are there, you really should enjoy the fruit trees in bloom in Central Park, because
that
is rather lovely this time of year. After that, I just book it.
New York City is the center of culture of the universe, and you can't beat the falafel.
You just told us that people appeared in the streets and it's the center of culture?
So, what's a little public urination?
Yeah, what's a little public urination?
I'll tell you what, though. The most annoying thing are the car horns.
Yeah.
See, everywhere else, people use car horns for safety purposes, but
right.
here it really is a nuisance.
Yeah, I mean, when you've been sitting there through five changes of the same traffic light, you'll blow your horn. It's human nature. Mother Teresa would blow her horn.
Well, here's what I've come up with. The main problem are the cab drivers. They're the ones that lay on the horns nonstop.
Yeah.
So if we started a campaign and made it public so that the cab drivers were aware of it, don't tip your cab driver if he uses his horn unnecessarily.
Oh.
If I have one that doesn't use his horn unnecessarily, I will give him an extra tip and I will tell him
wow.
why I'm tipping him more, hoping that he'll go tell others.
Yeah.
But that's a very slow process.
Well, no, it is a slow process. You'll be dead by the time.
Yeah. You're dreaming, Kimberly. You're absolutely nuts.
I'll be a stain on the urine-soaked
exactly.
On the urine-soaked sidewalks of New York. I there's a song in there someplace. Seaside. But never mind.
Hey, good luck, Kimberly. I hope you do last another couple of weeks
but
there.
Maintain your enthusiasm and your love of life, and hopefully New York won't ruin you like
I'm
it has 8 million other
on.
People.
Thank you, guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, she is a unique spirit.
She does. I mean, she's only been there 5 weeks.
I know. It takes more than five.
Sometimes it only takes a couple of hours, but who knows?
She will persevere. I think.
I hope so.
Unless she moves back.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, you've wasted another hour of your precious youth listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Darjeeling, Dumpling, Jello Ring, Licorice String, and Chicken a la King, Spring Fling, and Wing Ding, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikoff and Dropoff. And our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, and the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the muckluck-wearing bums in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
There you go. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1516. Download other fine episodes and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, where you can also keep up on actual car news. Now, Car Talk's posse of bloggers posts automotive stories you might have missed, with Car Talk's take on them, of course. For instance, here's a story about the auto industry's increased use of aluminum. Car Talk's take is that GM should stop recalling cars and just urge owners to crush them against their foreheads. Get all of your automotive news from Car Talk's Facebook page or at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though marathon runners suddenly get cramps in their ears whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.